Now, Red. Two extensive passages from Genesis and in the life of Abraham last Sunday. But I did not get that far in my discussion. And since these two passages are so fundamental and basic to my thoughts and discussion this morning, I feel it necessary to read them again, so you'll have them fresh in your mind. And when you get home and in the week ahead, I'd like for you to read them a time or two or three and meditate upon them. And remember that the covenant under which we now live was confirmed in Abraham. And it was confirmed right here in these passages of Scripture that I read to you last Sunday and I'm going to read to you again this morning. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That's verses 1 through 18 of the 15th chapter of Genesis. Now I will read from the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the seed, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That's 18 verses from the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And now the text is the same. The 50th Psalm, verse 5. gather my saints together unto me, they who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We discussed the other side of the sacrifice that confirmed this covenant last Sunday morning. And that was God's side and the sacrifice that He made to confirm this covenant. And that was Jesus. He said, concerning Him, I give you as a covenant of the people. The covenant was confirmed in Jesus. And the covenant consisted of finishing the transgression, making an end of sins, making reconciliation for iniquities, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now Jesus accomplished all of this by His death. The covenant is outlined to us in the 9th chapter of Daniel. And beginning with verse 24, he lays down the conditions of the covenant, which is just what I recited to you. In verse 27, he says, He shall confirm the covenant. That's Jesus. For 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he'll be cut off. Jesus was God's confirmation of His covenant. And this new covenant, which He said He would give in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, He says that the days come that I'll make a new covenant with them, saith the Lord, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, but this will be the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith God. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I'll be merciful to their transgressions, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I'm going to make an end of sin, see? Finish the transgression, break the whole thing off, bring in a new covenant, and all of this was confirmed in Christ. And He said they will no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they'll all know Me, from the least to the greatest. Amen. Jesus said, This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom Thou hast sent. And so now He has brought about a covenant to make reconciliation for iniquity. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, finish the transgression and make an end of sins. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not only did He make an end of sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses those who believe in Him from all their sins. That isn't all He did, but He destroyed the power and effect of sin, broke its dominion. He said in the 6th chapter of Romans in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. It had dominion over everybody from Adam clear on down to Jesus, because no sacrifice was given during those centuries that were sufficient to take away sin, but now He's given a sacrifice to confirm His covenant with us that's sufficient to take away sin. And He said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're under grace. Reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness. Isn't that great? He said in Luke, the 1st chapter, in verse 73, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives. He has brought in everlasting righteousness through this new covenant under which we now live. And Jesus confirmed it to us by the sacrifice of Himself, giving His own life, shedding His own blood, and God confirmed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, God has made this great sacrifice. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, since God has done all of this and made all this sacrifice to confirm His side of the covenant, do you suppose by any means or any stretch of imagination He's going to let you and I in free? I trow not. We must confirm our covenant with a sacrifice too. There's a sacrifice on our part, and that goes back to the passages that I've just read you concerning Abraham, who was our father. He's the father of all that believe. The covenant was confirmed in him, and it transcended the ages of the law and the prophets and came on down to Christ. And the Holy Scripture says that if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's come right on down to us, and we enter into a covenant relationship with Him by sacrifice. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, I mentioned to you last Sunday that a covenant without a sacrifice was equivalent to a contract of purchase without any down payment, and it wasn't binding. And your covenant is not binding unless you confirm it with a proper sacrifice. And therefore you would have no claim on God for all the benefits that He's promised to His children in the Word of God if you make no covenant to confirm and make no sacrifice to confirm your covenant with Him. Now, God made some broad, sweeping promises here to Abraham. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham was complaining to God that he had no seed, no heir, and one born in his house would be his heir. And God objected to that and said, "This will not be your heir, but your own offspring is going to be your heir. I'm going to give you an offspring now through Sarah." And Abraham could hardly believe that. And he said, "I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea. They're going to be innumerable." John saw this company away on down there in the 9th chapter of Revelation, seventh chapter of Revelation in verse 9, he said, "I saw a great multitude which no man could number of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people." This was the redeemed host, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And God told Abraham, "I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the seashore. They're going to be innumerable." And John saw them innumerable. On down there at the end of time, when he saw them, the redeemed host arriving on the borders of eternity, all robed in white, spotless white robes and palms in their hands, and waving the palms of victory as they arrived on the borders of eternity, but he couldn't count them. God had said, "I'm going to give you a multitude of seed that cannot be numbered." And John saw them. He said, "A great multitude that no man could number, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people." Well, now, then he told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land that you're in. I brought you out here now to give you this land. And it'll be the inheritance of your seed after you. Explain some other things in the interim period there that was going to postpone their possession of this land for 400 years or so. But he said, this is going to be your land and the inheritance of your seed after you. Now all of this just kind of stupefied Abraham. He wasn't able to take all that in. His faith couldn't comprehend all of that. So he asked God, how am I going to know now that this is going to be this way? How do I know I'm going to have all this multitude of progeny? How am I going to know that we're going to possess this land? And this is going to be my land and the inheritance of my seed after me. I want some confirmation of this. And God called on him for a sacrifice. He said, you take a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he laid it out there just like God told him. The fowls of the air came down to feed on it, and he stood there and guarded his sacrifice and drove them away till sunset and dark was coming on, the end of the day. Then God came, and there was a smoking furnace and a burning flax that passed between those pieces, and God made a covenant with Abraham. And he confirmed it so deeply in his heart that it is written, Abraham believed God.
Amen.
And it was counted to him for righteousness. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're having problems with your faith, examine your sacrifice. When Abraham had made the sacrifice that God called on him for, God confirmed his covenant so deeply in Abraham's heart that he was able to believe it. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And when your soul a perfect price hath paid, God will send the holy fire. Now this sacrifice that God called upon Abraham for here, there was a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon, and that just covered about the whole scope of sacrifice that was offered under the law. That about included all of it. Folks, did you know that the deeper that your consecration can go, and the more commitment that you can make to God, the more deeply His covenant will be confirmed in you till you'll be able to believe God right against apparently impossible odds. Now Abraham was able to believe God not against apparently impossible odds, but actually impossible odds. There's never been a situation like this ever heard of before or since. That a man 100 years old and a woman 90 years old had a baby. You've never heard of a thing like that. Only in this one instance. Before or since. Now, Abraham stood and believed God in the face of impossible, actually impossible things, biologically impossible. But a covenant had been confirmed in his heart on the basis of the sacrifice that he made. Now you and I know that when we go purchase something on a contract, the bigger down payment we can make, the smaller the payments are going to be on through there after that. I say to you that when you enter into a covenant with God, the deeper you can go with it right at the start. Amen. And the more fully you can commit yourself into the hands of God right in the beginning, the less the payments are going to be.
Amen.
On down the line. Now, a definite commitment, a total, complete commitment is what is needed on your part and mine. Total sacrifice. Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. And let me tell you, folks, Jesus told us in other places that nothing will be impossible with God. And when He, with whom nothing is impossible, tells you and I that something is impossible, we'd as well quit trying it. No need of trying to divide our affections and our aims and our purposes and all in life when Jesus said it's impossible for it to be done. A commitment to God's what's needed.
Amen.
A total commitment. A severance from all other things. And a giving of our lives to the Lord, taking Him as the Lord of our lives. Many people will accept Jesus as a Savior, but when it comes to taking Him as Lord over their lives and Him dictating the course of their lives and the things for them to do, they're not willing to do that. A complete and total commitment to Christ as Lord and Savior. In our lives, that's what is needed. A life divided in purpose, in desire, opposite polar attractions toward heaven and toward earth, divided vision, divided allegiance, and torn by indecision between different opinions, cannot stand or succeed. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And again I say, when Jesus says a thing cannot be done, you and I just well stop trying to do it. We need to get set on course. I read a article once in a magazine about a certain breed of dog. And this certain breed of dog was a mix or cross between a dachshund and a beagle. And the article explained that this particular mixture had produced one of the most frustrated creatures on earth. Their natures were so different. The dachshund is a home-loving dog. The beagle is a roamer, forever on the go. And the writer of this article said he'd seen a dog of this particular breed, and the beagle would get him out of the house and get him out to the public sidewalk in front of the house. And there he would stand, the beagle in him, looking on off out there into adventure land. The dachshund in him, pulling him back toward the house. And he said this dog would make a few steps toward the open spaces, the beagle in him would. And immediately the dachshund in him would pull him back and he'd retreat. He said he had seen that dog stand on the front sidewalk in front of that house for 30 minutes at one time, taking a few steps forward and then retreating a few steps back. Folks, do you know what it is when you're divided between purposes and aims and those major channels of your life, when they're divided, it's equivalent to a war with yourself within yourself. You're at war with yourself. A civil war. And in a civil war, take a nation that's involved in a civil war, all of its resources are so dissipated in that civil war that they'd find it very difficult to make success with a war against a nation coming against them from outside. It's the same thing with you and me. When we are at war within ourselves, civil war, torn between conflicting opinions and polar attractions, and in our desires and affections and allegiances and purposes in life, we're torn between them. How could we expect to have any effectiveness in our conflict against our arch enemy, the devil, as he comes against us from the outside? Definite commitment is what is needed. A full, complete, total commitment. Now in this other case, there was a deeper sacrifice involved here than a turtle dove and pigeons and heifers and rams and she-goats. It was his own son this time. God come to him and said, "Abraham." He perked right up. "Yeah, the last time he called me, made me some broad sweeping promises, and perhaps he's got some more big things for me now. Here I am." But oh, the story was different this time. God said, "You take your son, your only son, whom you love." Oh, he was just driving and driving deeper and deeper and increasing the agony in the man's soul with everything that he said. "Your son, your only son, whom you love, take him and offer him as a burnt offering to me. Up there in the place I'll show you." Well, he hadn't expected anything like that. But he got right up the next morning and started. Traveled 2 days. God gave him two or a good part of 3 days to think this over. Back out on it if he wanted to back out. Well, this is the time to do it. The morning of the third day, he looked and he saw the place afar off. It's a long way off yet. The place that you see may look afar off. It may be afar off. You may not reach it today. You may not reach it this year. But if you'll start going toward it with a purpose of heart to go till you get there, God will bless you every jump of the way. Amen. Abraham took his son and the wood and the fire and went right on up there and kept going till he got there. He was afar off when he started, but he got to it. And he got up there and he offered his son. Oh, you say, no, he didn't actually. He brought him back. I say he did actually. And James said he did actually. Amen. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac? He went right ahead to do that thing. To offer his own son, his only son, whom he loved. God accepted it as done. He didn't allow it to go through. Time's running out here. I can't go into all that story. How things worked out, but you know God didn't allow it to go through. He spared his son and provided him a ram that was caught by its horns in the thicket right behind him to make a burnt offering with. Now, Isaac wasn't just a little boy that didn't have any power of choice or any right of decision. Isaac was at least 25 years old when this happened. Some authorities set it at 36. Adam Clark determines it to be about 33 because he compares Isaac as a type of Christ, and Christ at 33 was hanged on the cross. A lot of young men like that, and you know that Abraham is 120 or past by now. A boy that age could handle a man like that. Isaac could have said, now listen, I got something to say about this. You're not going to put me through this. I respect you as my father, but I'll manhandle you before I'll allow you to go through with this, what you're threatening me with now. But no, Isaac was submissive too. He just allowed himself to be bound and exposed himself to the knife. Listen, Jesus said, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and children and houses and lands, and yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. His son was involved in this. He was commanded of God to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. But he was not allowed to respect his son above the commandment of God. When God called for his son, that's it. Now, this matter of hating is further explained in the 10th chapter of Matthew in verse 37. He says, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, if we would allow father, mother, wife, husband, son, daughter to interfere with our service to God and with doing God's will, we would prove ourselves unworthy of him. We'd be unworthy of anything but hell if we let anything. Our whole family scope of relatives, of whatever classification they might be, nobody is supposed to be able to interfere with you and me doing the will of God. Amen. Doing it fully from the heart. Abraham hadn't expected this, but when he had done it, you excuse me, that time's just now passing 12 o'clock, but I want to finish up this thought a little here so I can drop this. He was commanded to offer his son, and he did it. God accepted it as done. And on the basis of that, God renewed his covenant with him. Blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of the heavens, innumerable. But he expanded it a little here. Folks, let me tell you, the deeper your sacrifice goes, the greater things God will give to you. The greater his blessings will be in your life. He expanded it here. He said, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Here he expanded his covenant that he had made in the 15th chapter of Genesis to cover a victorious, triumphant life and faith. Thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. There's much more I'd like to say, but I'm going to call your attention to one thing that I can't close without. And it's a great text to me. 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And the 27th verse. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Folks, when you start your sacrifice, it'll start the joy bells ringing and the music in your soul. It'll start the songs to going. He said when the burnt offering began, the songs began. They came right along with it. And this 28th verse is important also. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now when you and I make our sacrifice, as long as we guard it, as long as we hold it intact, as long as we keep it complete, as long as we don't take up anything we put on the altar, as long as we don't back up on any promises we made to God, as long as we don't take anything back into our lives that we put out of it, as we come along, as long as our sacrifice continues, he said, the songs continue. Folks, you can keep music in your soul all the way through by just continuing your sacrifice all the way through and holding it intact and complete. The songs were just right in conjunction with the sacrifice. And as you and I confirm our covenant with a sacrifice to God, he said, when the burnt offerings began, the songs began. And the songs continued until the sacrifice was finished. And your sacrifice will not be finished until life sunsets. Abraham stood by and guarded his sacrifice till the sun went down, the day closed, darkness came in. And folks, your sacrifice and mine will not be finished until life sunsets. And we are to stand and guard our sacrifice entirely and not let any of it be consumed by the fowls of the air until life sunsets. And by that means, we can have our song right on through to the close of our lives. Now, I want you folks to come up here and sing that song. I want the congregation to stand. If there's anybody that wants to confirm your sacrifice, your covenant with a sacrifice? Anybody wants to deepen your sacrifice? Anybody wants to extend your sacrifice to the complete total? Like Abraham did this second time in the offering of his own son. We want to invite you to this altar this morning while the folks come up here and sing this song. Let us stand.